So good, worship team. Thank you so much for leading us in worship today. And you just perform so well. They get better every week. I'm convinced of that. And it means so much to have good worship. So thank y'all. Thank you for all that you do. I know they practice hard. They're up here during the week preparing. And I'm just grateful for that. Now, the message today, week 12 of Experiencing God. And the title of the message is Experiencing God in Your Daily Life. Now, I'm just going to admit, I'm going to read the memory verses. Y'all can quote them as I read them, okay? It's Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. It says, "Let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching." I almost couldn't even read it, could I? It's like that little section there, neglect together, that's a little tongue twister. But y'all did that very well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's so good to be in your house, and it's so good to have your word open. And Lord, this journey that we have been on has been nothing short of amazing, and we praise you for it. And Father, I pray that in the days ahead, we will continually be thinking back to all the principles that we have learned through Experiencing God. Now today, Lord, we need to hear from you. Father, I'll preach one message, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, I know that you'll preach to every heart the message they need to hear. So I pray that people will be attentive and that they would be willing to be responsive, Lord, to whatever you say to them in regards to their life today. So we thank you for what you're about to do for us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Week 12, done. How y'all feeling right about now? Pretty good, huh? Pretty good, yeah. Y'all should applaud. 12 weeks of hard work. Listen, I want to commend all of you that went on this journey together. I mean, it's been so good. I have certainly enjoyed it, and so many of you have come and shared with me from week to week how God has spoken to you, and it's just been somebody new every week, testimonies every week, and that's so meaningful because it just is confirmation that we're right where God wants us to be. You know, because experiencing God was a challenge. It, right, 5 days a week for 12 weeks, and that challenge, but here's what I think it did. I think it brought us some fresh clarity, and I also think it brought us some fresh conviction in our lives. And throughout this study, it just seemed to me like God was just a little bit closer. He was just a little bit more leaned in to what we was doing as a body of believers here. And it just felt so good. And together we've experienced God as a body. And we're much better for it. We're way better for it. And I want to say this to you. This is not the end. It's the beginning. It's the beginning. And even though we've completed the study, we should be beginning a whole new adventure of following and experiencing God daily, because now we get it, right? I mean, for 12 weeks we've been taught, we've been equipped, and now it's time to apply that to our lives. It's time to put it into practice. So with that in mind, here's what I want to give you a few next things, some homework assignments to have ongoing. I want to encourage you to take time to review and to process the many things God spoke to you. Here's how I want you to do it. You know, for you that went through Experience of God, you know, every day you had the section at the end where it was like you saying, "This is how God most spoke to me today." I want you to take time, and you might as well just start on Monday, because now you've got this kind of groove in your life that there's nothing in it now. So what I want you to do is I want you to just go back, and I want you to begin to review all those things that you wrote, all those prayers that you prayed, and I want you to keep some, like a notepad or something close to you, or your phone, whatever, And the things that really was the most revealing, the most compelling, the thing that you're like, God, you're saying this to me, and I'll never be the same for it. I want you to jot that down somewhere and keep it close. I want you to not lose sight of those biggest things that God said to you. I know He said so much, but those biggest things, those commitments that you might have made to Him, maybe even just tuck it in your Bible somewhere so that you can always be reminded of what has happened to you in your heart and in your life through these 12 weeks. Because I don't want you to lose sight of what God's done. Don't lose sight of it. And then I want to share this, is that in 2 weeks, on October 6th, we're having our transition team presentation. We're going to have a luncheon for the entire church right after the service, October 6th. And at the end of the luncheon, we're going to give the presentation from the transition team of what they've been working hard on for 8 months. 8 months, they've been praying, they've been digging, they've been studying the community, they've been studying God's Word, they've been seeking God's will, and He has spoken so clearly to us. And the interesting thing that you're going to see about this presentation, one is you're going to see how perfectly timed experiencing God was. I mean, you're going to get it when you see the direction that God's taken us in. And also, you're going to see that now, you know, you've heard me talk since I've been here about building a runway, about taxiing down the runway. That October 6th, that's going to be the takeoff point. That's where we're going to take off as a church. And that's where you're going to get to dare to dream again as a church body of what God's going to do with our future. And here's the interesting thing about, as I just sent the booklet to the printers yesterday that we're going to hand out to everybody with everything we're going to cover. And as I was going through it, this is all the ideas that grew out of the transition team. And as I was going through it, it was amazing to me at how many of those things have already begun. It's like, you know, God was already working it. He was already formulating it. And I think I might have said this a week or two ago, as I went through that entire list of everything God's put on our hearts, that, hey, this is the direction we need to go in as a church to refocus on the 5 purposes of the church. Then what I noticed was, when we started as a transition team, there was only about 3 things on the list that was already in process. But you'll see on October 6th, when we're going through all these initiatives that they're sharing with you, that a lot of them's already started. Some of them are already being done. I mean, it's just amazing. I'll give you one example. One of the things that the transition team was talking about is our discipleship, and they're talking about how that we need to fill the gaps with some of our age groups and Sunday school classes, discipleship, and things like that. And here's one example of that. This is a course that's going on right now on Tuesday nights at 6 p.m. It's Family Life's Art of Parenting. And this is quality stuff right here. And it's an 8-week session. And I was talking to Mark about it the other day, asked him how it was going. And he says, you know, it would be great if you could mention this, because each one of these sessions are kind of standalone. It's like, if you didn't start 2 weeks ago? If you didn't start 2 weeks ago, it doesn't matter. You can start this Tuesday at 6 p.m. and get in on this really good class for parenting. That was a gap that's being filled already, is a parenting class. Let me sit that there. If you want to look at it, you can sit at the end of the service, but that's just one example of so many things already taking place, already happening. God is already at work in our fellowship of accomplishing what He wants to see us do as a church. But then there's new endeavors that we're going to share with you as well. So definitely the timing of experiencing God and the timing of the transition team presentation, it's just dovetailing together so perfect. And I'm so excited about the future. There's so many great things that are going to start happening. I mean, I'm just so excited to finally be at this point, and I praise God for it. Now, as far as experiencing God goes, and we've completed the study, here's what I want to say to you. Let the seed grow and produce fruit. Let the seeds of experiencing God grow and produce fruit. Here's what I'm saying. Don't let the truths of experiencing God be like the seed in Matthew 13 that fell on the stony ground. You remember that parable? It says it fell on the stony ground and it sprang up immediately because it had no depth of soil. But once the heat come out, once the sun rose up, it withered away and died. And you know, that's such a great parable that gives us an example of what a lot of us do as believers when we go through studies. We go through the study, we get all excited about the study, we talk about the study, we're encouraging each other with the study, and it springs up. Man, it just, boom, it's growing instantly. It just seems like my life is going to change forever. And then what happens, you get through that study, and then the heat, the sun, the labors of life come up, and all of a sudden it just withers away like you never did it. That's why I say go back and review and write down some notes and keep them close and have that reminder readily available that this is not something that you can just do and forget. We need to let it become the seed that fell on good ground. Remember the seed that fell on good ground? It's the seed that when it fell on the good ground, it took root and the root had depth. And then it said that it sprung up and it bore fruit, and it said some even 100-fold of what it had produced from one seed. And so that's the way that we need to let this word from the Lord, this study, this experience of God, that we need to let it grow in our hearts from here as we go forward. I think about what Jesus said in John 15:7-8. It says, if you abide in me and my words, in other words, those seeds of truth, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. That's how you'll be my disciples is what he says. Bear much fruit. And so we've got to let the seed grow. We've got to let it produce. We've got to let it bear fruit. You know, last week I got a text from a member of this body. And they were very concerned. And I'm not going to read the whole text, but I want to read you one little statement because it makes the point of where the text, the concern was coming from. They said, my prayer is that this is not just a checklist. I'm finished now. Let's move on. My prayer is that it's not just a checklist. And then they said, my heart is burdened for my church. God help us. God help us if it's just a checklist. God help us if we've spent 12 weeks of hard labor to do nothing with it. God help us. And I understand that sentiment. And, you know, that's just that picture, that seed on the stony ground. Don't let it be that. I also think about a statement from week 12 of Experience of God. Here's what it said. Don't treat God's truth as a doctrine to be believed, but as a reality that must be lived and experienced. So experiencing God as we're about to enter into this new phase of transition, these new recommendations from the transition team, and we're going to, as a body, follow Christ, roll up our sleeves, get involved more in ministry and more in the work that he's calling us to do for the health of this church, then we have to apply this as if it's something that we have to experience and we have to live out. Here's what I'm saying to you. Faith is a journey and it's not a destination. Now, I remember this. I know probably none of you will, but the very first message that I preached in this church when I was just filling in one Sunday was that it was entitled The Journey of Faith. And I preached from Psalms 23. And I talked about how faith is a journey, not a destination. We talked about that sometimes that journey gets difficult, but we have a shepherd that leads us all along the way. And the whole point of that message that you see in those six verses of Psalms 23 is that that shepherd is leading his sheep on a journey through life. We don't one day, you know, we don't complete a 12-week course of Experience God and say, now I've arrived. That's it. I'm done. I can sit back until the Lord comes. No, that's just one step in the journey. So with that in mind, I just want to encourage you to make this experience in God a giant leap into the future journey of this church. That when you see the direction God's taken us in, that you'll want to get involved, that you'll want to step out by faith, applying all the principles that you've learned up until this point. Now, today what I want to do is I want to encourage you to adopt five practices that will help us to get that seed in good ground, get it to go deeper in our experience, and that way the Lord will be able to produce much fruit through us. So, five practices. Here's the first one. Stay immersed in God's Word. Immersed. Listen to God's instructions for Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night." That's being immersed in the Word, meditating in it day and night. "That you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then, after you make this a habit of meditating in God's Word, then you will make your way, that journey of faith, you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success." So we have to be immersed in the Word. We have to make reading God's Word a daily habit that will become a daily communion. Listen, it begins as a habit. You make yourself do it, but over time, it'll just become your communion with God every day. It'll be something that you're looking forward to. It'll be something that you want to get to. You'll be disappointed if something interrupts it. It becomes a communion instead of just a habit. And God, you know, here's the thing. He's got so many more truths to teach us. He's got so much more to reveal to us. And the way He does that is through His Word. That's Him speaking to us. It's His words to us. And so we need to follow that advice to Joshua. Meditate in it day and night. Now, here's number two. Pray daily and often. Now, this goes hand in hand with being immersed in God's Word. Consider Daniel's prayer life. Scripture indicates that Daniel had a habit of praying three times a day. For example, in Daniel 6, it says, "In his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before God, as was his custom since the early days." He didn't just kneel down three times that day. That was his life. That was his custom. That was his communion with the Father. He would do that every day. And as a result, he had a powerful prayer life in which God spoke and answered him as soon as he prayed. Listen to the words of Gabriel responding to one of Daniel's prayers. This is in Daniel 9, 23. I'm reading from the NIV. It says, "As soon as you began to pray, a word went out which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed." Why was he highly esteemed? Because he is a prayer warrior. Because he spent time with the Lord three times a day. Because he knew who to call on. And Gabriel says, "You're so highly esteemed, as soon as you prayed, word went out, and here I am with it." That's pretty good right there. And there's another story of Daniel praying, and Gabriel, it took him 3 weeks to get there, and Daniel was wondering, well, what's the holdup? And it turns out that Gabriel was battling on the spiritual warfare level. He was fighting people. It's like Satan and his demons was fighting him to keep him from getting the answer to Daniel. So sometimes when we pray and he's not answering, you don't know what's going on in the spiritual realm. And so you have to just keep praying, and you have to keep waiting, and you have to keep trusting that God is going to come through and answer that prayer. He's going to come through and answer. So we're talking about praying daily and often. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. Make praying to God, just like reading the Bible, make praying to God a daily habit, and it'll become a communion. Just like reading the Bible. It begins as a habit, but it becomes something very precious to you. And here's what it'll do. It'll make your heart's soil rich, for that whatever God teaches you will take a deep root in your heart, and you want lose it. It won't spring up and then melt away. Remember this, you can't fall far when you're on your knees. You can't fall far. I often, and you've heard me share it here, but especially when I was the youth pastor, I wanted to teach these principles to our students of praying, of that daily communion with God. It's where when you get in His Word, He's speaking to you. When you pray, you're speaking to Him. That's a two-way conversation. But I knew that was challenging for students, and so I would just tell them, I'd say, just start with the 55 plan, like the speed limit, right? And spend, just commit 5 minutes in the Word. In 5 minutes, you could read a chapter. 5 minutes in prayer. In 5 minutes, you can pray an impactful prayer. Just start there. I'd tell them, just start there. Commit to that. 10 minutes a day. Anybody can give God 10 minutes a day. But what will happen is if you will make that a habit, it'll become a communion and it will grow to 10 minutes, to 20 minutes, to 30 minutes. You will just want to commune with God and it'll become something that's just a part of your spiritual nature. But if you don't have that going on now, just start with the 55 plan. I think about this. If you went through experiencing God for the last 12 weeks, now, like I say, you've got this groove in your life and there's a void in it, do this. Fill it with this. Fill it with God's Word. Fill it with prayer and let that become your daily habit, which will turn into a communion, I promise. The 55 plan. Okay, here's number three. Strive to keep your vows to God. Now, this is important in relation to experiencing God. Ecclesiastes 5, 4, and 5 warns us. It says, when you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Now, isn't that interesting? Basically, he's saying, if you don't fulfill the vows you make to me, you're a fool. Because I'm not happy with that. You need to hear me. Let me read it again. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It's better not to make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it. And I think that's great advice. Now, throughout the course of experiencing God, I would imagine that if you was taking it seriously and you was doing the work, I would imagine that throughout that course, God has been speaking to you. And in response on some of those days, maybe you've made some promises back to God along the way. And I just want you to remember that God takes our promises to Him very seriously. And so as you think back on this 12 weeks, think about those promises you made. Think about those vows you took. Think about that day that God so stirred your heart that you said, yes, Lord, I will include this in my life. Yes, Lord, I'll start doing this for you. And what we need to remember is what Galatians 6 and 7 warns us, that God is not mocked. Listen to it. It says, let him, in verse 7, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap correction, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Listen to verse 9, and let us not grow weary in while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So the first thing it warns us, God's not mocked. In other words, keep your vows, keep your promises. And not only that, but we need to be diligent to follow through with everything we're doing. I mean, when we are talking about taking experience in God and letting it dovetail into the transition team's presentation and the future of our church and how we all as a body need to realign with the five purposes of the church and get busy honoring God and bringing glory to God and making a difference in this community, then we go to that verse 9, let us not grow weary while doing well. For in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Listen, when you start turning your life around for God, it's not easy. It's not like all of a sudden all the gifts of heaven fall in your lap. I mean, you're having to change a lot of old habits. You're having to change the way that things have been for a long time. And so it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard, and it's going to take work. And I'm encouraging all of you now to be praying and say, Lord, give me a mind to work. Prepare my heart for what you have ahead, because I want to see our body, I want to see our church become all that you intend for us to be. And that's when we got to apply that verse 9. Lord, help me to not grow weary. Help me to not grow weary, because you have promised that in due season we'll reap if we don't faint. Don't you want to reap as a church? Don't you want to see that fruit on the vine? Don't you want to see this church growing again, glorifying God again? And there's a lot of good things going on now. I'm not saying we're doing nothing. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But I'm saying that there is far more that God wants of us so that we can experience just the greatest blessings of being arm to arm with the Savior, making a difference in our body and in the world. Here's number 4. Be faithful to this body. Now, as I continue to be in Galatians, Galatians 6, I want to read one more verse. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Be faithful to the body. You know, our memory verse this week, Hebrews 10, 24, 25, it's urging that. Listen to it again. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. That's our faith journey. We're entering into a journey that's filled with love and good deeds. And we need to encourage each other on this journey. It says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And I can never read that without pointing out the fact that the day approaching is God's judgment day. It's when we'll all stand before Him and give account for our life. And that's what grieves me, because there's 73% of our community within 3 miles of this church that aren't affiliated with a church anywhere. And if the day were to come tomorrow, that 73% would be standing before God giving account. And I wonder if they might say, well, there was that First Baptist right there. They never came looking for me. Don't they carry some of the blame? Well, of course, we can't blame our reality on anybody else when we're standing before God. But surely, does that not cause us to pause and think? We must do something as we see the day approaching. We must. We must have a heart for the lost. Jesus wanted us to have the heart He had, and His heart was for the lost. So much so that He bled and died on the cross for all of us. Listen, we're the body of Christ, and God designed us to be interdependent on each other. We're talking about being faithful to the body. He designed us to be interdependent. You can't experience all God has for you apart from the rest of the body. You can't be a loner and say, I'm going to experience everything God has, but I don't need to be a part of a church. That's not true. He has designed us to be the body. That's why the New Testament talks so much about being the body, because we are interdependent. We're designed for this. And I want you to remember this. Romans 12, 5, it says, each member belongs to all the others. We all belong together. You're a single member, but you belong to us. I'm a single member. I belong to you. We all are a part. We all belong to each other. I was speaking to a young man the other day, and he's in a difficult place in his life. He has he made a decision some time ago to quit going to church, to pull himself out of the body, if you will. And as I spoke with him, and he was just being real honest with me, he said this. He said, I'm just sick of the hole that I've dug for myself. And I thought about the prodigal son. And I thought, you know, How can we make it on our own? How can we think that we could go through this life without the body, without the encouragement, without what it says, let us encourage one another. Let us spur one another on towards love and good deeds. This young man, he was doing love. He is doing good deeds. He was involved in a body. He was serving God. And yet, I mean, you know, many of us have been there. There comes a time in our life to where we just step out, right? We fall away. And you probably have people in your own life, family members that are there right now, that they've just slipped away. They stepped out of the body, and now they're trying to find anything in life that gives them any kind of joy. Here's the last one. With that in mind, here's the last one. Number five, return to God. Now what I'm doing is I'm going back to day one of week 12. And you probably remember as you studied it, the title of it was Returning to God. Returning to God. And I want to ask you this question. Do you remember, can you recall, and I want you to stop and do this, can you recall when you were saved? Just take a minute and take your mind back to that place in your life. When were you saved? And let me ask you this. Do you recall how exciting it was to be so right and to be so close to God? You remember how that felt? I remember. I remember when I finally surrendered my life to the Lord. I was so inspired. At the time, I had not met Susan yet. I was living alone. I lived at Ackworth, and I had a single wide mobile home. And I had a roommate. He lived on one end with his bedroom and bathroom. I lived on the other end with my bedroom and bathroom. And it was just the bachelor pad. It was perfect for us. But on my end, the bedroom, it had this little bay window, and it had a shelf. You know how they'll go out and there's a little shelf. And I was so excited about my newfound faith that literally what I would do is I would come at night, and I would think about where the Bible says, you know, to be always be watching. Always be watching. And according to the Bible, I believe it says the Lord's going to come from the east. And so I had a little compass, and every night when I would begin to pray, I would put the little compass on the windowsill to make sure I knew which way was east. And I'd say, Lord, I'm just going to look a little while. I'm just going to watch a little while because you could come right now. And I'd even say this, Lord, and I'm just going to be real with you, talking about, you know, the journey is not always easy. All my friends were lost. You have to understand, I had no Christian friends. I had no church. I had no acquaintances. And all of a sudden, God dramatically rescues me, and everything changes. And so all my friends said, dollar's gone crazy, and they left. And so I was in a lonely state. And I'd sit there at night and I'd pray and I'd say, Lord, I'm just watching for you. I would love for you to come right now. So lonely. This is so hard. Help me, Lord. Help me. And I remember one night, as often I would do, I would just keep praying, and I had laid down and was praying. And as I was praying, I fell asleep. And I began to dream. And I dreamed that I heard a trumpet. I dreamed I heard a trumpet. It was the trumpet of the Lord. And I woke up and I heard the trumpet blasting. And all of a sudden, my body just lifts up off the bed. It's a dream. Don't get too upset. I'm not going to ask for money in a minute. But I'm dreaming my body just floats up off the bed, and it went right through the roof of the trailer like I went through a cloud. And I was thinking, what is going on? I didn't even realize I had fell asleep. I didn't know I was dreaming. It felt so real. I'm like, what is going on here?
And as my body just got faster and faster, I went up like this, and then I kind of straightened up. It was almost like Superman, you know? I'm going through it. And then I realized, I heard a trumpet. It's the rapture. The Lord is coming. I started shouting, and I was waving my arms, and I got so excited in my dream, I woke myself up. Lord. Oh, Lord, I just said, Lord, thank you for reminding me what it's going to be one day. I'm going to hang on, Lord. I'm not going to quit trusting you. And if I'm lonely, I'm lonely. It's okay. But man, that experience, that dream, man, God gave me something to hang on to. He let me experience what that's going to be one day. One day, He's coming to claim His own. And it says he will meet together in the clouds. And I look forward to that day. What about you? Do you look forward to that day? I want to ask you this question. How close are you today? You was thinking about when you got saved. You was thinking about the excitement of a new belief. What about today? How close are you? Was you closer then? If you were closer then, or at any point in your life, if you was closer to the Lord than you are now, then we have a word for that. It's an old country word. It's called backslid. It means that you have slid back away from God, like the prodigal son did, like so many others. You're backslid. What is your condition today? Are you close to the Lord, or are you slid back away from Him? Has your heart grown cold? If you have, then I got good news for you, and you hear this verse from me a lot. The good news is this, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So whatever that sin is that separated you from God, whatever it is, all you have to do is confess it, and He'll forgive it. Confess it. And He'll forgive it. Here's what confession is. Confession is agreement with God that, yes, that's sin. Some people, they have pet sins and they don't want to admit it. They don't want to admit that it's hindering their relationship with God. But confession is agreement with God about the awful nature of your sins. But here's the thing. Confession is not enough. There has to be repentance. You know what repentance means? It means that I'm going this way and I'm pursuing the sin. I'm pursuing this life that I know is causing me to backslide from God. You confess it and then you repent. You turn from it and you start walking back towards God. That's what repentance is. So not only do you have to confess, you have to repent. Many of us will admit we're sinners, but too many of us don't want to give up the sin. We don't want to repent of it. We don't want to turn away from it. And so that's what we have to do. We have to confess. We have to repent. And when you repent, when you confess, when you turn back to God, that verse once again, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I don't know where you are today, but it's time to respond to this message. And as they come, I want to read you one other verse that I hope will be helpful to you. It's James 4:8. And it says this. It says, draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. If you want to get back right with God, if you want to get out of that backslidden state that you're in, then just draw near to Him. Because once He sees you drawing near, He's going to draw near to you. Once that father saw the prodigal son coming home, he ran and grabbed him and hugged him. The moment that you turn in repentance, I don't believe you're even going to have to take a step before you feel God's loving arms around you. We just need to draw near to Him, and He'll draw near to you. It says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know, that's interesting. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. In other words, you can't have one foot in the world and the other foot in the church. You can't have one foot living for the devil and the other foot. We said it earlier during the blessing of the offering. You can't serve God and mammon, that worldly God that draws us away from the true and the living God. So I would just ask you this. Have you ever prayed to receive Christ as your Savior? Has there ever been a time in your life? You say, well, I've been in church all my life. I've had people tell me that. I've been in church all my life. You know the expression, right? Being in a church, it's no more makes you a Christian than walking in a garage makes you a car. You can be in church all your life, but ultimately this is about a relationship. This is one-on-one, and everybody has the opportunity to have it. And what you have to do is pray a prayer saying, Lord, I want you. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm in need of a Savior. Will you save me? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, Romans says, shall be saved. It doesn't say whoever spends all their life in church shall be saved. It doesn't say whoever gives the most in the offering plate shall be saved. No, it's more humbling than that. It's easy to give money. It's easy to show up. It's more humbling than that. It's that humbling to where you admit, I'm nothing. And God, you're everything. And I'm calling on you because I have no hope without you. Will you save me? And he will. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I don't know how you need to respond to this message today. Maybe you've been a Christian a long time, but you know that you've grown cold. You're backslid, right? Or maybe you've never prayed to ask Jesus in your heart and you're ready to nail that down today. If you are, would you just come up and let's speak to each other, and I'll show you how simple it is to pray what we call a sinner's prayer, where we just admit we're sinners and ask him to be our Savior. So however God's speaking to your heart, this is an altar now for prayer, and it's open. And you respond however God is leading you to respond to this message today. It's you and it's him, and it's nobody else. You need to respond to what he's saying. Stand and let's sing.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will see of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna see of the goodness.
For joining us online this morning. We would love to see you next time in person on Sunday mornings at 9:15 a.m. for our Sunday school class and at 10:30 a.m. for our worship service. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Ciao!